Welcome to Be the Giraffe. I'm your host and guide, Chris Jarvis. Perhaps you're wondering why Be the Giraffe. The giraffe literally evolved to be more vulnerable, but the truth is that giraffe gets to see things others can't and reach heights and reach food others won't. If you are looking for ways to stand out and reach higher in business, with money, and in life, then you are in the right place. Welcome to Be the Giraffe. Welcome to Be the Giraffe. I'm your host and guide, Chris Jarvis. This is a show where innovators share how they stood tall, broke free from the herd, and reached higher in business and in life. Today's guest is Brian Mayoral. Once a school teacher, Brian became the number one national speaker and peak performance strategist for Tony Robbins. 18 months ago, he started Sell Up to help leaders shift from pressure-based selling to purpose-driven influence, increasing his client sales by over $14 million. If you want to inspire others, close deals the right way, and use some of those extra millions you're going to make to elevate your impact, then lean in. This episode is for you. Brian Mayoral, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, brother. I'm excited to be here.
It's great. So you've had a pretty cool life. You've done a lot of cool things for a young man, having great success. And you figured out this selling thing. Like, you are helping people grow.
Yes.
Right? Helping people grow by doing something different. And I want to get into the whole story, but it reminds me of a story that I was told in business school. There was a guy who owned a janitorial service, and he said, I'm doing things, I'm competing. If I go into investment banking, I'm competing with the smartest finance minds around the world for the, you know, for that big deal. But when I go into janitorial services, I have an unfair advantage because I'm really smart and I'm helping create something that this industry doesn't have, right? Because a lot of janitorial services are run by former janitors who usually don't have a lot of education.
Yes.
And it seems like for you, you worked for Tony Robbins, you this big peak strategy guy, and you're bringing that cool energy to accounting, which, yes, other than my background in actuarial, is probably the second least exciting industry. So, like, talk about that. Like, how did you... Like, you're doing something so cool and you're bringing something different that people wouldn't normally put together. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. You know, we think accounting is pretty sexy for a lot of reasons, because it gives a direct ROI for business owners. And we didn't start off thinking that we were going to get into the accounting space. We started our company doing sales for a bunch of other programs. And Tony's accountant, who speaks from stage, calls me up, says, you got a sales team. Can you sell accounting services? And I'm like, no. Like, no, I'm not gonna happen. And he's like, come on, let's give it a shot. I think we can do great. I'm like, listen, salespeople go cross-eyed when they're looking at spreadsheets. I don't think this is a good idea. He's like, let's just try it. And in 4 days, we sold $1.4 million worth of tax plans. Wow. And we're like, oh, this is pretty cool. We're not selling ketchup popsicles to a woman in white gloves. We're selling an actual service that actually delivers results. And that's kind of when our company started to take off.
So cool. So you ended up, I think it's such an important thing for entrepreneurs is you don't always end up where you, in the direction that you start.
Yes.
Right? The key is you have to start. And then you start, you do the work, right? You have to do the work and not just plan. I called it during COVID. I got stuck in my own office, my separate building at my house, and I call it my lab because it's where I do all my crazy stuff. But I built courses and books and did all this stuff. But it isn't until you get out and actually go live that you get the feedback you need.
1,000%.
Right? Like that whole, and you guys got out there. And like, my first business was a pharmaceutical ad agency that ended up becoming a financial firm. Client. That had 18,000 doctors as clients. So, but it was pay attention to the people that do this. So where did you learn that whole pay attention, be open, like be intentional, but be able to see the things around you to get the clues to know how to course correct. I think there's a lot of people out there who are either they're afraid to step out and do something because they don't have it all planned out, or they're doing it and they're just so focused they're missing some of the signs and the cues.
Yeah, I can definitely get tunnel vision from time to time, but the first 25 years of my life, I had the blinders on and not listening at all to what other people wanted to tell me, and didn't listen to outside opinions, and that's what kind of got me stuck in my life. And so I experienced enough pain at an early age of just thinking that I knew the answers myself, thinking that I had the answers myself, and kept hitting my head against the wall and not getting the results that I wanted in my life. They took me through enough pain that I was like, I will never go through this again. I will never not be open enough to new opportunities and looking for new things. And then obviously being a part of the Tony Robbins world, I gave 850 speeches in 3.5 years to different organizations across the United States. And I learned something very quick. Nothing's ever gonna go the way that you want it. And you better be open because things are gonna knock you sideways regardless. So I think that was kind of force feeding me the learning at an age where I was just open and ready for anything at the time.
So when you started speaking, was that your past? Like, did you have experience before you went into this 840, 850 baptism by fire, or did you have a different path?
Yeah, I had a very different path. I actually was speaking to junior high school students as a health teacher. That was my first career. So I grew up and followed my parents' path. They're all school teachers. Everyone works for the government. So I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do what parents do. And I got into school teaching. I did that for 4 years. My job was rolling out basketballs for a living, telling kids to run the mile. And actually the first semester that I was a teacher, I was actually a sex ed teacher, and I got teacher of the year. And I was in this situation where I'm like, I don't belong here at 22 years old. Like, I don't belong in this situation where I'm teaching these kids this thing, and I'm a teacher, and I'm limited in what I was doing, and I stayed in that career for 4 years. I had the ability to speak to students, but I'd never spoken to adults before going on to the Tony Robbins stage.
A little scary?
A little different, yeah.
So right now, one of the big challenges that parents have, I think a lot of parents are going to want to show this. You're going to want to show this to your kids, I think, because I think Brian's message is going to help with parenting and with young people, mostly because he's young and not old like I am. But the right now, we focus, I think we've made a mistake. My generation has made a mistake in the American dream and making our kids' lives better because we've eliminated pain and we tried to make people comfortable.
Yeah.
And a previous guest on the show, Dave Steck, episode one, said, comfortable is where dreams go to die.
Yes.
And that you get really comfortable. And you went out and took this gig, scared out of your mind a little bit?
Scared out of my mind. Yeah, absolutely. And I watched that interview with Dave. And to your point, when I was a school teacher, I didn't experience like something like life-changing. Nothing rocked me to the point where I like had this big awakening. I think that's a fallacy that most people try and they're trying to wait for their big moment or something big to happen, their big breakthrough. What happened for me is just that slow, mediocre burn as a teacher for 4 years. Right, and listening to outside opinions and try to conform myself to what other people wanted for my life. Meanwhile, telling myself stories of why I'm not good enough, why I couldn't go accomplish the things that I wanted. And those fears and those doubts kept me as a school teacher for 4 years. And I had gotten to a place where it was so deep for me that I was just ready for anything and anyone that was willing to teach me something to get out of where I was at.
So you did this. Was there any resistance that my parents did this? This was expected of me. Were there a lot of feelings of expectation that you would go into this? Or was this a contract that you were keeping that nobody else signed?
It's a contract I was keeping that nobody else signed. Obviously, I was being encouraged to stay the path. You know, I would build spreadsheets and I would walk my parents through like, this doesn't math. Like, this math isn't mathing for where I want to go in my life. And they're like, just stay the path. You know, it will come with time. And so I kept convincing myself that the outside opinions were greater than my internal opinion. And because I did that enough, I started to believe my own lies around where my life was going and what I was capable of until I finally hit my version of rock bottom. If you're open to hearing it, it's I landed this day after school, got off from school at like 3 o'clock on my way home, grabbed some Del Taco, went home and laid in bed. And it was that time of year where there's no sports on. And I was flipping through SportsCenter, shades are down, lights off, and just flipping. And like, I just caught myself. It was the first time that I was conscious of what I was doing in a very long time. And I just broke down crying. And I for the first time in my life, I was scared of my own thoughts, scared of why I should be here, scared of what was going to be the next move for me. And I vowed that day that I would never let life control me. I would never let life steer me in a direction that I wasn't supposed to go. And so that's the kind of moment in which I started looking for things outside of myself and looking for other people who I could seek and learn from. And that's how I found, of course, the Tony Robbins stuff and started modeling him.
And what was that like at that time? Like, I think there probably are a lot of people watching who are either doing something that's expected of them, or you made the point that you were, like when my parents got divorced, I remember coming home from school and my mother was crying at the kitchen, at the stove, literally. I can remember what she was wearing, and she had on a skirt, and she had on like a sweater vest over her blouse, and I just said, what happened? And she said, you know, I divorced your father today. Mm. And she cried, and she just had a moment and cried, and I was 10. And I can remember thinking in that moment, it's my job to save her, to protect her, which she never asked me to do.
Yes.
But it took me on a path. And so for me, I think it was so important that you talked about the external stories, or the external voices were more important than the internal voices.
Yes.
I think an important thing for people watching is to ask the question of what voices are most dominant in your head. Like, what is it you're telling yourself? What do you believe? And is that really true? And even having that moment, did you ever talk to your parents about, ask them, did they want you to be a teacher? Like, did you ever have that moment to reconcile that?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, I try and bring it up from time to time. I think at this point I've released expectation of what it was, but they wanted me to be a teacher and they wanted me to stay the path. And because of that, I wanted to make them happy. I wanted to make them proud like most young people do. But making other people proud instead of making yourself proud is a sure way to destruction, and that's what was happening. And you know, that it took a moment of getting to extreme pain that one day after school for me to like pop myself out and say I needed to start taking control of parts of my life and start getting control. So some of the things that I did was I just started jotting down everything that I did through the day and started building momentum, and I created this life spreadsheet and just started building some confidence. And like, I made my bed this morning, I went to the gym today. And how well did I do those things, and how excited did those things get me to start building some life momentum?
I want to go deeper into that. So if you want to build some momentum on your life and get out of a life that somebody else might have planned for you, or a hole that you dug for yourself, you got to come back to segment 2 with Brian Mayerl. We'll be right here. Hey, Chris Jarvis with Be the Giraffe, and this week I have Brian Mayerl. He is going to teach you how to do extraordinary things, how to take your challenges and turn them into a superpower, talk about how to find exciting ways to make money in unexciting places that other people won't look. And if you're stuck where you are and you want to elevate and try something new, this one is magic. So don't miss it this week. Be the Giraffe, Brian Mayerl. Welcome back to Be the Giraffe. My guest this week, Brian Mayerl, who's teaching me a thing or two about life and getting what you want, and hopefully you too. Last segment, you talked about living the life, trying to be the teacher or trying to please your parents, which a lot of us go through. It's natural. And they wanted you to be a teacher. You were a teacher. You wanted something else. And one of the journeys, you know, lesson one in Be the Giraffe is break free from the herd.
Yeah.
And safety in numbers only works if people stay in numbers. So the challenge that people have when they leave the herd to find greener pastures is, until you find them, people can't see what you're looking for. It's a solo journey. No one goes with you. And all the people who are behind you don't like that you're gone.
Yes.
The ones who care about you are worried for you, which is natural, right? Your parents say be careful. And Jason Cisneros said, don't be careful, be dangerous. He has a very different approach. But But the people who are in that group also, I know for me, when I left Rhode Island to move to California, my friends were like, oh, you're too good for us. And so for people in the audience who are in a place like you were, they're living a life that isn't the life they want, and they're ready to go somewhere else, how do you handle, what can you do to help with that lonely journey and the fact that we're social animals? We want to connect with people, but the people you were with, like your school teacher friends, your parents, people have expectations of you and they have a role they're used to you being in, you're not there. Like, how did you handle it, and what advice can you give to people who, we'll start with how you handled it and see, you know, because I think there's a lot of people who are stuck with the, I don't know what this path is going to lead. I'm not happy here, but I don't. There's no certainty of the next thing.
Yep.
And I've got to find people to help me with this journey because it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, totally. To your point, there's still times today where I feel lonely because I'm constantly wanting to level up. I actually seek to be misunderstood in a lot of ways. But the one thing that I would say is that the destination has to be bigger than the current circumstances. And so when you set your eyes on a goal, and for me, it was the Tony Robbins role. I went to that first event, spent money that I did not have, and showed up in a full suit. No one wears suits at Tony Robbins events, or at least the one I went to. And I was a fish out of water and desperate for change. And Tony said something from stage, if you find someone who has the results you want, model what they do, and eventually you'll get there. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna model this guy. And the destination was, is I'm gonna be the number one sales professional and speaker for Tony Robbins within the next 2 years. So the destination became approachable. It was something that I set my sights on. I believed was true. I believed that I could accomplish it. And for the first time, the destination was greater than my current circumstances. My current circumstances was that I had a job that I didn't like. Current circumstances was I was living for the weekends to party with my friends. Current circumstances is I didn't have the business degree. I didn't have a lot of the skill sets yet. I didn't know how to sell. I didn't know how to speak from stage. All of those were my current circumstances, but the destination where I was going became greater than where I was currently at. And so what I would say for the people who might be doubting themselves along that journey, the thing that will shift you not caring what those people surrounding you will be like is you setting a path forward that says, I believe where I'm going. And as soon as your mind believes that it's possible, all the other things along the way, like people doubting you or your parents judging you or your friends judging you and leaving people behind, all of that becomes minimal compared to where you're going. Because eventually when you get there, people will celebrate your success and you'll have a lot more to give to people. And that's what ended up happening for me.
So this, say again to the audience, how important is the future versus the current circumstance. Tell them again.
Yeah, the destination has to be greater than your current circumstances because it's going to be hard. I don't know anyone in life who hasn't had a hard circumstance in their life, right? They're not smart enough. They're not good looking enough. Their parents raised them this way. They're a teacher. Other people have better degrees. All of those things could be true. All of them could be true. And what? Like, what are you going to do about it? Because if you constantly focus on the things that are holding you back, right? All those things that could be true, right? There were things true about me. I wasn't the smartest one. I didn't go to business school and I didn't have the skill set yet. True. But the destination was greater than my current circumstances. And as long as I set my path on that and focus on that, then I'll keep running towards it. And so I would recommend to you or implore upon you that you just got to have a better and more finite destination on where you're going.
Fascinating. And I recently met John Mitchell, who is the mental coach for the University of Texas, the athletic director, all 18 or 19 coaches, and he teaches a class there with, I think, Bill Cunningham, the previous president of the school, the chancellor, and he teaches mindset.
Yeah.
And since he did that, they've won the President's Cup 3 of 5 years, so he's obviously very good. And what he taught me in his book, The Missing Secret, was, and I was talking to him about it last week, is that 95% of our thoughts are unconscious or subconscious.
Yes.
And like we're so controlled by our thoughts that we have to change that. And that if we reprogram our brain with the vision of the destination, it's not just the vision, but it's the vision of the future destination coupled with emotion.
Yes.
And so this whole visualize what your life's going to be and what is that going to be like and who am I going to be like and what am I going to feel?
Yes.
And what is just really get into picturing that thing, it has so much power over the subconscious to get you, to make the brain work subconsciously to help you get there.
Yes.
You have to feed that message instead of feeding the message of, I'm a victim, I grew up poor, I didn't have enough money, I went to the wrong school, I did the wrong thing, I'm a bad person, whatever.
Totally. Yeah, totally. At that stage, there were a lot of doubts that, like, through the journey, it took me 18 months to get the Tony Robbins role. And when I talk about the destination being greater than the current circumstances, for 18 months, I was applying for the role, getting strung along, wasn't getting talked to for 3-4 months, getting ghosted. I spent over $25,000 that year going to Tony Robbins seminars as a volunteer to usher people to their seat at Tony Robbins events just to get in the room with people who might be the right person to get me the job, with no promise that it would happen. And so what I would implore upon people is, once you lock in that emotion and understand what's possible for your life, nothing's gonna stop you, nothing, right? Most people apply for the job, they get rejected, they just apply for the next one. And then getting in the role, that one lesson taught me continually take actions that are bigger than what seem okay or what seem to make sense at that moment. So since then, I just, even now, as we're building this rocket ship, we're on our journey. So I don't have advice for anyone. We're on our rocket ship journey, but what's working for us is we continue to take actions that are bigger than our current circumstances. It's not going to make sense, right? And some of the things that we do currently is we'll say, hey, we're gonna be in town having coffee without a flight, not actually gonna be in town for people that we're prospecting that have the resources and things that we're looking for, and we'll buy a flight that night just to show up at their event. Because I learned when I was in bed that day that if I constantly make decisions based off how I currently feel or what I currently believe is possible, I'll constantly be held back in my life. So that one pattern of taking more action and taking action bigger than current circumstances is one thing that is working for us right now.
I think that's so important. Again, it's not just for young people, but I did a TED Talk in 2022, I think.
I saw that.
Surviving Ain't Thriving. And it went a little viral and has over 4 million views. And what I found from that is the whole pitch is that people are so afraid of making mistakes. They're afraid of getting shunned. They're afraid of getting ridiculed, especially now with social media. Like when we got bullied in school, it was more of a fist thing. It was less of a something that everybody could see immediately, yeah. Right? There's a lot of things that are different now. But people are so afraid of the quick repercussion of the negative that they're afraid to do things. And so the whole thing of you showing up in a suit, I know I've got 3 kids that are between the ages of 17 and 23, and the standing out and being different. I just saw a picture of my daughter at a music festival, and all the girls are dressed exactly the same.
Yep.
Same boot, same short, same, like, it's all the same.
Yep.
And they looked adorable, but for someone to just show up in a flowered dress and be different, like, nah, I'm rolling this card.
Yeah.
Because now I'm going to stand out. It's like, I don't want to stand out. And so this fear of standing out is such a big thing. But that's the only way you're going to get there. It's that acting as if you're already there is so important.
Totally. My whole thing is if I don't feel uncomfortable, then I'm probably doing something wrong. Like if I start to fit in, I'm probably doing something wrong, because most people don't have the things that I'm desiring in my life. Most people don't have the business, the TV show like you do. And so fitting in with the crowd means that you're not gonna get the things that are extraordinary. Life does not reward people who are mediocre. Life rewards people who do extraordinary things. And sometimes that requires extraordinary action. And so if I could just share with everyone, it's like, in order for people to pay attention to you, you have to do something that's worth value. This is the world, right? If they're not your parents, if they're not blood, they're gonna pay attention to you because of the value that you bring, period. Full stop. And that means acquiring skills, showing up when other people won't, being available when other people won't. But you gotta find a way to deliver more results for other people, and that requires standing out. It requires uncomfortable action. It requires things that don't make sense to most people. And that's why you're gonna be looked at as sometimes the outcast or the people that don't understand you, is simply because you're taking actions that they're not willing to.
It's really interesting that I've said on this show before that everybody wants to have more, right? They want the watch, and they want the plane, and they want the house, and they want the wonderful Instagrammable moments and experiences and all the things that look flashy and nice. So in a normal distribution, people wanna be outliers. They wanna have more.
Yeah.
Than other people. But my line is funny, you said the word outcast. People want to be outliers, but they're afraid of becoming outcasts. And the truth is, you can't be one of the guys. I tell this to people all the time, you cannot be one of the guys and have 10 times more money than everybody else.
Yes.
You have to not be one of the guys. You have to look at things differently. So it's so important to embrace, that's the whole being the giraffe, is you're literally sticking your neck out so you can see things others can't and reach things that others won't. Like, that is the purpose of the show. And so when we come back from the break, I want you to go into some of the things that you've done, because you've done some cool things. And I want to get into what you've done and some of the risks you've taken and give, and kind of a little back and forth, so we can give the people in the audience some good, good takeaways and things that they can act on now. So make sure you come back so you can elevate your perspective, see a better path, and become the giraffe. I'll be here after the break with Brian Merrill. Hey, Chris Jarvis with Be the Giraffe, and this week I have Brian Merrill. He is going to teach you how to do extraordinary things, how to take your challenges and turn them into a superpower, talk about how to find exciting ways to make money in unexciting places that other people won't look. And if you're stuck where you are and you want to elevate and try something new, this one is magic. So don't miss it this week. Be the Giraffe, Brian Merrill. Welcome back to Be the Giraffe. My guest, Brian Merrill, is giving us a masterclass in life, in transition, in elevation. So it's been great. We talked about in the last segment this whole, people want to be outliers but don't want to be outcasts. You don't get extraordinary results from slightly above average or common action. You've got to take uncomfortable. Jack Canfield said in a previous episode, you've got to become comfortable. You have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Where'd you learn that? Like, what is that? Like, tell people what that means, because I think that's really important to go push through that a little bit.
I think I realized that the pain of staying where I'm at is far greater than the pain of looking dumb or looking bad. Everyone has had moments in their life where they hit a low, and they can either continue to repeat that pattern or not. And some people are afraid to take themselves to a low place, right? When I was clicking through and just clicking through SportsCenter, I allowed myself to go to a really low place because sometimes pain is a great propellant, right? I want to feel the experience of not having what I want because I want to run away from that as much as I possibly can in my life. But I also need to feel the joy and the abundance and the gratitude for where I want to go. And so allowing yourself to feel the emotions is one of the first things. And to be honest with you, I got force-fed it. Right? Going through the Tony Robbins experience, every day it was two or three speeches and I would show up and here I was, this 27-year-old guy giving speeches to these corporations and there'd be someone who's suicidal or someone who's living out of their car. And they're like, you're the Tony Robbins guy, you can help me. And I'm like, what? Like, and I learned that everyone has a pattern. Everyone is made up of the same ingredients, but how they use those ingredients is just different. And understanding human psychology and how people work. And by doing that, I was able to learn even more about myself. Learn the things that kind of poke and prod me that get me to go forward. People move forward for one of two reasons. I got this from Tony: towards pleasure or away from pain. And so focusing on what is causing those two things and getting over the temporary pleasure sometimes to get to something even greater and keep going through that mental gymnastics as much as you possibly can.
So talk about your journey in business. So once you got into business,
yeah,
how did that manifest? What does that look like in business, doing things that you're uncomfortable with?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people here have started businesses. Something like 97% of the people who watch this show identify as having a business owner in the house. And that could be a solopreneur up to somebody running, you know, a large business. So what does that look like for you? What is that being uncomfortable? Talk about maybe some decisions you made and how you worked your way through those.
Yeah. So when we first started our company, I just started dating my now wife and we were living in a one-bedroom apartment. And I can remember another moment where it was 3 a.m. I'm staring at the screen asking myself, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Like, I don't even know. And I'm looking at the bank account, the savings is starting to dwindle, and I got the woman of my dreams laying in bed crying herself to sleep. And in that moment, I realized that I had gotten to that place or had started to feel that way because I stopped taking action that was greater. And it was a reminder that we need to strive for things that are bigger. And shortly thereafter, we landed one of our biggest accounts. And one of the actions that first started up for me was I asked one of my best friends to start doing sales for us. And I said, hey, I need you to quit your job. And he's like, what? And in my head, I was like, I don't know if we're gonna be able to make enough to be able to pay for him. But it was the belief that there was something greater coming. And so we did. And every quarter, every year, we just continue to take those actions. One of the examples that I gave earlier was, we had an opportunity for a very large account, and I knew that person lived in Georgia. And so I said, hey, I'm actually in town for the next 2 days. Do you wanna grab coffee? Didn't have a plane ticket, wasn't in Georgia. I was actually in California at the time. And he said, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. So I got on a plane and I flew to Georgia. Not telling him why or how that I did that. Why?
Right.
Because sometimes you gotta play the game of taking those actions. And so whenever I get to a place where I feel like we've hit a lull in our company, which, you know, we're blessed that we keep growing and growing a lot, I just continue to ask myself, what would be the next thing? What would be the next thing that would scare the heck out of me, for lack of a better word? And I just keep taking those actions. We keep taking those actions.
What's the next big thing?
Yeah, we are going to dominate the entire accounting industry. So we're going to be the go-to firm for accountants across the United States. Right now, we're doubling every year, and we're doubling our client base. Accountants come to us for all things sales. So when they don't want to sell themselves, they hire a company like us to do the sales for them. And eventually, in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll be the number one sales firm in the entire United States. We're nowhere close, but we've got a lot of work to do. And so having that vision and having that belief that we're actually going to get there allows us to make different decisions today. We don't make the small decisions that kind of feel good and, oh, we're, you know, here's our next 90-day plan that feels nice. It's like, no, let's scare the out of ourselves and let's get to that next level. And so we're hiring like crazy. We're bringing on clients like crazy. And right now it's just like holding onto the rocket ship, making sure that it doesn't blow up midair. And it's scary. I'm scared now. I'm scared out of my mind. But good, right? Like, to your point of being the person who's a little bit of an outcast or a little bit uncomfortable, I'm in a very uncomfortable spot right now. Like, I'm not here to tell people I've built a $100 million company yet. We're on our way, and we'll be bigger than that, and it's scary as hell. And we're right in the middle of it. And sometimes I look at my business partner and now wife in her eyes, and I can see the fear in her eyes. And in behind my eyes, I know there's fear, but I got to install belief, and she does it back for me sometimes. And I hold on to that. And we continue to have the belief that it's going to keep growing and it's going to work itself out. We do a lot of praying. We do a lot of meditation. I work out daily so I don't go crazy. And we're just holding on, man. It's been great.
I love it. This is an important point for the audience. You're building the number one go-to sales service for accounting firms.
Yes.
And you're both accountants?
Nope.
Neither one of your accounts.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, that's this whole idea that you have to be and know the industry. When I was in business school, I won an entrepreneurial fellowship from YPO, Young Presidents Organization, and I met a guy named Hunt Ramsbottom. Mm. And I ended up doing a project for him as well. And he gave me some advice. He did roll up. So he would buy industries, buy companies in an industry, and then sell it. And I said, what's the first thing you do? He said, I fire all the management. And I said, that seems odd. Who runs the company then? He said, well, if I spend $100 million buying up auto body shops, I don't make any money unless that business is worth $200 million because I have to pay back all the investors and I got to put in time. Like, I need to make the business twice as big. And I'm not going to do that with people who are in the industry because they're going to do things that are the same. That big destination he has isn't going to come from small adjustments. And so his thing is, I want to bring in people from different industries to give me new ideas.
Amazing.
And so for the accounting firms that are out there that are trying to hire somebody who, somebody else told me in Vistage once, we hire people based on what they've done, but we fire them based on who they are.
Mm.
And we usually hire fast and fire slow, and both of those things should be reversed. And so this whole idea that people hire someone who's run an accounting firm, like, oh, you've been a marketing person in an accounting firm. Well, all they're going to do is teach you how a normal accounting firm grows.
Yes.
But you're having these massive, have created $14 million of value for your clients in 18 months. Which is crazy, that, like, this is the business, this is the model people need to do, is you need to find people from other industries. You need to do something different. The fact that neither of you are accountants and you're crushing accounting, like, that is the recipe.
Yes.
Of going to a place that you don't know, and people say you don't know accounting, and I would assume your response is, I know people.
Yes. You don't need to know the industry. You need to acquire a skill set, right? If life is about adding value, then people buy skill sets. Accountants have a skill set that we don't have. If I look at a spreadsheet for too long, I also go cross-eyed. And so I pair what we do great with what they do great, and it makes a great partnership. I'm adding a value to something that they don't like doing, they don't enjoy doing, and we help them do it. They do something that we don't like doing and we don't enjoy doing, and they help us grow. Eventually, that might lead to something even bigger, and we're open to what those possibilities are, not being too tunnel vision. But I'd say if there's practical steps, it's acquire a skill set that is extremely valuable for other people, bring that skill set to the world, and then acquire other businesses, whether it's through partnership, whether it's through sales, but finding out someone else who has a complementary skill set. Because no business, if you look at a business today, like even the clothes that I'm wearing, the branded clothes that I wear, they don't manufacture themselves. They don't get their raw materials themselves. Everyone is a cluster of multiple companies with someone's branding on it. That's all it is. And today, we are a company that helps accountants grow. And the truth of the matter is we present ourselves as sell up, and we will dominate the industry. We're well on our way to that. But we don't do it ourselves, and we rely on people for their skill set. And so if I could recommend to anyone, it's just, what is the skill set that would fill the gap in what you're trying to fill right now? And go acquire it.
It's so interesting, because a friend of mine took a job at, she was at SAP, and she got a promotion to work with the technical team. She was a marketing person, marketing, sales, client relationship, and got put with 30 technical people, all happened to be Middle Eastern born or Asian born, and she was from Quebec, and you know, very different. And it was funny, her first thought was, I need to learn what they do. Mm. And then the advice was, no, you don't need to learn coding. They already have 30 guys who know how to code. Like, just the fact that you're a woman in a team full of 30 men is going to change the dynamic. The fact that you come from marketing and they come from tech is going to change the dynamic. The fact that you're from Canada and they're from other parts of the world is going to change the dynamic. There is something about not trying to fit in. It's when you bring people to the team that have such different skill sets, you can create magic. Like, that's the whole wanting to fit in and going to the places that other people go. The secret sauce for everybody in the audience is, if you want to find something cool and you want to sell up, you want to raise up, you want to elevate like Brian and Cassidy have done, you've got to think about that skill set and the people who don't have it.
Yes.
And that's the cool thing. And we're going to get inside a little bit further in the next episode. Make sure you come back. Hey, Chris Jarvis with Be the Giraffe, and this week I have Brian Mayoral. He is going to teach you how to do extraordinary things, how to take your challenges and turn them into a superpower. Talk about how to find exciting ways to make money in unexciting places that other people won't look. And if you're stuck where you are and you want to elevate and try something new, this one is magic. So don't miss it this week. Be the Giraffe, Brian Mayoral. Welcome back to Be the Giraffe, and my guest today, Brian Mayoral, has hijacked the show to be the ironic giraffe. So the irony of the whole go left to go right, so many cool messages that are counterproductive, or may seem counterproductive, but aren't. It's the genius of what you do. And this accounting, yes, you're making a lot of money for the accountants who are then able to help a lot of people. This is a commodity business. Most people wouldn't think that accounting is something. I work with a lot of accountants, and you wouldn't think of accounting as a place that's ripe for innovation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people talking about accounting being completely eliminated by AI. And so you've got people who are very compliant. It's very numbers driven. You wouldn't think it's very people oriented, because it's just the left side of the ledger has to match the right side. That you've been successful because you've done the exact opposite. Rather than automate it and go into more AI and fewer people, you are focusing on the human element, which is the irony of that, of you're taking an industry that people are predicting is going to become humanless. You're making money, building firms, helping companies grow with better tax solutions, by leaning into the human side.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So brilliant, and it's so giraffe-y. I absolutely love it. But where does that come from? Like that whole human piece of this. Where did that curiosity for people start for you?
Yeah. My whole life I felt misunderstood growing up. I don't think I ever fit in, struggled with friends up until high school. And I care a lot about people. For us, if I could just say like what the special sauce is, as much as we take action and grow, like if there's one through line that has somehow led to the success that we're building and the things that we've accomplished, it's one word, love. We love people. Like we love the people we serve. We love the people that we work with. We love the clients that we serve. There are millions of Americans right now that are overpaying in taxes that shouldn't be. And I'll give you one story that might break open where the heart is in our company. 3 months ago, a woman is messaging one of our sales professionals back and forth, and she says, hey, I can't invest in this tax savings program right now because the doctor gave me 3 years to live. And I'm going to use that $10,000 to go on vacation. Our sales reps and our company and who we are have such a big heart. They said, what would that vacation look like if you had $50,000? Had enough confidence to ask, had the big enough heart to understand what her true needs were. She ended up going through the program, spending the $10,000, and ended up taking her entire family on a vacation for her last 3 years to live. And so when we get sales or when we win, it's all about how many lives have we impacted today, right? And no matter what you're selling is a means to an end, right? Whatever vehicle gets you to the destination. Right now, our vehicle is the accounting industry. That's the vehicle that gets us to the destination of helping people. All we care about is creating life transformation for people. A best friend got me to do it when I was that person laying in bed, flipping through SportsCenter, and got me out of my own head and helped me change my life. And I've been dedicated ever since, and our company's dedicated ever since, to doing the same thing for as many people on this planet as we possibly can.
So it seems like you're very why-driven. Like that's a big, where'd that start? Was there an influence early in life? Was there something that amazed you?
Having parents that work for the government, all I saw was them doing service every day. And feeling like an outcast even from an early age, I desperately wanted someone to care. I desperately wanted someone to pay attention. I desperately wanted someone to be like, hey, you're made for greatness. And my whole life I had reached to like be great, and then it just got put back in the mediocre box. Reached to be great and then put back in the mediocre box. And I craved it so much. And that moment when I was 25 years old is the first time that I actually listened to the voice. And so if I can help other people listen to their voice or take an action that's uncomfortable or help them break through in some type of way, I will do nothing and spare nothing to help them do that.
I said at the beginning of the session, you've turned this into the ironic giraffe, and it is ironic for you, the journey. When you started as a school teacher, you were helping people.
Yeah.
And then you're like, this isn't what I want. And there's a lot of people on the show watching things that are living a life that they don't want. Yeah. And they don't know what the plan is. They don't know what's next. And I can remember when I turned 50, Owen Samarone worked for me, and he was 25, and he said, when you were my age, like on his birthday, he said, you're twice my age, what advice would you have given to yourself? The way he worded it was, what would you do differently or not do that you did at 25? Now, I've been kicked out of a business I started. I was divorced first, then kicked out of, and didn't see my only child for a while. Then I got kicked out of a business I started, which was my identity for 15 years. I was suicidal, but didn't think I could actually pull it off. I've sold the company and then had to be in federal court for 4.5 years. I've had a coup with my employees who tried to remove a company from me. Like, I've had a lot of things that didn't go, and Be the Giraffe is not a highlight reel. But what I realized that things that I went through set me up later. Now that I have hindsight, I realize that I was going through things to help me build skills and relationships and experiences and perspective that would serve me later.
Totally.
So I can't undo any of them because I've already seen how they do other things. And the irony of that, again, for people who are going through something, if you're going through it, keep going. This thing may come back. It's like a really well done novel where there's foreshadow, or a movie where you see something early and then it comes back. You were a teacher teaching people, and now you're doing the same thing.
Yes.
Like that thing that you left, it wasn't the right vehicle for it, but without that experience of helping people grow and teaching them, and now you're doing that. You've done other things and assembled different skills, and now you piece them all together. It's fascinating, and I think it's such an important lesson for people out there who just think, I'm not doing the thing that I want, but the skills. Like, I was an actuary in the insurance world, and when I got divorced and got kicked out of my own company and I was broke, going to go bankrupt and thought I was going to kill myself, I started an insurance company that I was able to go out and I was able to create a job that made me a couple hundred thousand dollars a year that got me off the bridge I was, figuratively going to jump off. Because I found something, I could go to something.
Yes.
And then that same skill set got me my first billionaire client who wanted me to do something very specific, which then taught me so this path, you don't know what the path is for you.
I don't.
At all. But believing there is a path for you, and that these, you're only given challenges you can handle. What's the Mother Teresa line? God only gives us challenges he knows we can handle. But the second part of it is the funny part, which is, I wish he didn't have so much faith in me.
Yes.
And so, like, for people, if you're going through this, there's, like, the irony of, this is the lesson, too, for people that I know we didn't plan to talk about, but that the things you went through are the things that are driving you and empowering you now.
Yeah, and you're such a beautiful representation of that with the work that you do. All of those things are setting you up to learn something. And they're either a setup or you're going to tear yourself down, right? The way we like to look at it is, if I could really quick, if someone is drawn into a sports team and their sports team loses, even though they're watching TV, both male and female, their testosterone can go down 20%. Okay, so how does that frame our mind when there's failure in our life or when things don't go the way we want? If our brain shapes it as a loss or less or never or it's not going for me or something happened to me, it literally changes our biochemistry and drops our energy. But if we look at it as like, what is this setting me up for? What's the skill set that I can acquire? What's the mindset that I acquire? How can this sharpen me? How can this open my heart? How can this get me to think bigger or greater? That's the gift. Everything is a gift. And if there's one thing that I'm learning along my years here, it's everything that happens is an absolute gift if we choose to frame it that way, if we choose to see it that way. And doing so means that we're setting up our psychology, our biochemistry to continue to find the gift that will keep giving and allow us to grow, which you've done so beautifully.
Oh, thank you. It's give the audience one of yours. I think this will be a great way to part with them, is tell them a story of something of yours that you went through that would seemingly seem like it was a negative that you have since seen as becoming a positive.
Yeah. I can name a million, but I'll just name one in our business career. We had a client that was not going so well, and it was not performing the way that we wanted it to. And at the time, we were quite desperate to get growing. Cassidy and I were living out of a one-bedroom apartment trying to grow our company, and losing this deal would have meant, I don't know what we're going to do next. And we made the conscious decision that because we weren't aligned ethically and morally, to actually drop that client without even knowing what was going to happen next. And we allowed ourselves to feel the feeling of desperation that it wouldn't work out, just to be aligned with our morals and ethics. And by doing so and being in alignment with ourselves, 3 or 4 more deals that were more aligned with what we wanted and the people we were led us down this path of getting into the accounting industry and helping tax advisors, and our company's blown up since. But if we didn't listen to that gut feeling around someone not being morally or ethically aligned with us, we would still be going down a path and chasing dollars instead of chasing what we like to do. Is we at our company and what we do in our business is we chase spiritual development. So I look at business as a journey of spiritual development. Yes, we're going to grow and we're going to build this massive company and all those things are going to happen, but it's for the gift of who we're becoming along the way so that we have more to give. And every dollar that comes in, we share it with the world. We find a cause and something that we can give it away to, because if we're not tying it back to benefiting the world, then it's not giving us spiritual strength. And so moments sometimes where you're hearing an inner voice and you're chasing things of this world, sometimes you have to say no to the things of this world and chase that inner voice with your inner desires. And once you listen to that, the world kind of opened up for you because you're in alignment.
Well, if the audience is like I am, we want to say no to ending the show, but we're going to have to. So it's an unfortunate thing, but it's such a fortunate thing that you're here. You've done so much. You're selling up, you're building up, you're elevating, lifting other people. It's what the show's about. Brian, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, brother.
And come back next week, and we're going to learn even more. But make sure you watch this one again, because you got to really get in alignment with what's important to you so that you can elevate your perspective, see a better path, and ultimately become the ironic and very happy giraffe.